The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick 'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code NBASGPN to get 100% deposit match. Yes, sir. We are back with another edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. No me, no the voice of the guy. It's me, really Ro, villain Ro. It's Ro from Virginia here at your service. It's a lot of good things to talk about. I realized this morning that we have lines up for the first 3 days of the WNBA season already. Can't wait to get back and fire off at those. We're going to start having episodes next week, Scott. WNBA episodes start next week. This is news to you, but not news to me because I literally just made the schedule just now. And I decided that WNBA episodes are back this week. So I'm looking forward to it. And on the men's side of things, we have LeBron joining Cancun team. Anthony Davis is joining Cancun as well. I think D'Lo's got to go to... I think D'Lo got to go to Galveston. I think he got to go to Galveston. But Bron and AD, they can go. They can go to Cancun. I mean, when we talk about perfectly forecasting a game, Lakers money line hit, Denver money line hit, Lakers plus 7.5 hit, and the under hit.
I mean, first half was also a nice touch.
Yeah. Lakers first half. Lakers first half Denver money line was 5-1. Lakers Denver money line Lakers plus 7.5 was some plus money as well. Like there was a whole bunch of different ways that we talked about that game. The under came through under 217, I believe came through, right? Yeah, it did. Yeah, that hit. Okay, so and that's just one game. OKC minus 5, never in doubt. Never in doubt. It was close. They tried to play around at the end, but really, it was never in doubt. OKC absolutely dominated. And the Pelicans officially in Galveston today. And then you had Boston. They steamrolled them. But now it gets interesting because now they have to close out on their home floor. I thought that we had some good games yesterday. Scott Studio, Rochelle, people. Scott, what's going on?
Scotty, beam me up.
Surprise. Yeah, doing pretty well. I had a good day in the NBA yesterday. Unfortunately, did not sweep. I needed one block from Drew Holiday in about the last 40 minutes. He immediately had a point, a steal, a rebound, and an assist in like the first 5-6 minutes, and then proceeded to never get me a block to cash the quadruple single at about plus 140, give or take.
I blame the guy that tweeted us.
Yeah, a bit of a heartbreaker there.
But he literally tweeted us, was like three quarters to get one block. I knew right there. I was like, yeah.
It was a shame, though, because that means it was a good read. It just didn't get there. But the point is, I still had the Lakers first half plus the 4.5 at that time. I ended up closing 3.5 as my lock. That got there. I got every side in total right yesterday. I had the Celtics in the under. I had the Thunder in the under. And I had the Lakers and the under. So I got all of that right. So overall, had a good read on the games. I know you were kind of fading Boston. Then we talked it over and said they have to choke it on their home floor, not on the road. So hopefully maybe I swayed you a little bit. But yeah, Miami's not talented enough. I just simply put, they can't score. It's as simple as that. The offense is ugly. And the Celtics did enough to win by a large margin. Now Porzingis got injured.
Caleb Martin.
Caleb Martin got us threes, which we all thought would happen as well, so that worked out too. But
he was trash for like a good majority of that.
I know he was. That's the beauty of player props. You can be as bad as
shout
you
out
want.
To, shout out to Garbage Time, man. Garbage Time, man.
Garbage Time's a beautiful thing, but Porzingis got injured, which is now the new wrinkle, not just for this series, but for the next potential round for the Celtics, because we've seen how much worse the Celtics are when Porzingis doesn't play. So we'll see what happens when his non-contact injury status gets released, and we'll see if he's potentially forced to miss multiple weeks. Probably, but we'll see what happens. Besides that, Brandon Ingram. He's definitely in Galveston. He's got the VIP section.
Hey, man. Hey, man. I only, like, honestly, I want to get pause. But I think that Brandon Ingram needs to go find a nice spa somewhere, like a hot tub. Matter of fact, you remember the spa on Rush Hour 2 that they went to?
Yeah.
The what was that joint called? The Heaven on Earth Massage Parlor. I think it was the Heaven on Earth Massage Parlor. He need to go there because that man needed an ice bath after what Lu Dort did to him that game.
That was disgusting. And there was one possession. Were you watching the second half of that?
Yes, kind
of
I was watching. I know exactly. Okay. I know exactly what possession you're talking about when he was over there baseline and he just bullies him. He bullies him into taking a shot that Brandon Ingram really didn't even want to take, and he couldn't pass out of it. He literally had nothing to do, and it was Lu Dort like just imposing his will. Undrafted guys are crazy, man. That was just sick.
There was one possession, which I think is the one you're talking about, but it might have been slightly different. It was very it was very Trae Young on Ben Simmons-esque, what Ingram ended up doing. It just felt like there was one possession where Dort was shading Ingram to from the far side to Ingram's right. He was shading him that way. Ingram didn't have a dribble. So Dort is standing with his hands to his side, basically behind his back, right next to Ingram, daring Ingram to go up with his left on either a fadeaway to his left side or even maybe trying to find some potential way to like go for a floater. So he's not even guarding Ingram. He's just fully shading him to his right, and Ingram just didn't shoot the ball. He just didn't shoot the ball. He just had a pass to the corner on the opposite corner, and then I think Marshall or somebody airballed by about 20 feet. But the point is, there was one possession where Ingram, you could tell, just had no will to play basketball after what Dort did to him for four games.
That was an absolute domination. Tough series. That was a tough series, and I think that next year's Brandon Ingram is going to be really good because hey, man, it takes sometimes being at the bottom to pull out your best stuff. And I might be on Brandon Ingram next year because the summer you got to have after that, like, especially if you love basketball and you're that of much of a competitor, the summer you got to have after that series is incredible. And so I might be on Brandon Ingram next year. All right, we cashed a couple of other bets, too. We had Denver.
Well, I was going to say, quickly, that was my thoughts on the Pelicans game. You can't win games when your best player is injured and your second best player doesn't show up for the series. You're going to get swept. Like, that's going to happen no matter what. The Lakers game, pretty much the same as the first three games. I mean, I know AD got injured, so that was another factor there with his shoulder. He tried to tough it out. Like, I'm not going to get mad at AD. He tried. He couldn't lift his arm, and he was trying to make an impact. At the end of the day, Jamal Murray was great with the bad calf. And, yeah, the Lakers lost a game that they led him the majority of, which is a pretty, I'd say, common theme we've seen. Lakers first half, Nuggets full game was one of the greatest bets of all time. Cashed in four out of the five. It was plus 400 or higher in every single game. Yeah, it's a hell of a Hall of Fame bet right there. But either way, point is, wanted to mention the Lakers. I know we could talk about it more. I'm not really going to. They tried. They ended up losing another game they probably should have won, and the Nuggets advance. So I am going to briefly roast LeBron for a second. I understand that you're 39. I understand you had a great series. Can you stay to shake their damn hands after the game's over? I know it's a small thing. I get it. But damn, man, it's the end of a series. You're the face of the league. You're arguably the best player of all time. Probably second according to most people, but some would say the best. Can you stay to shake the guy's hand instead of walking off the court, like without acknowledging anybody? Can you just like shake their hand? It's a good overall optic for the league. Just shake their damn hands. It's really not that complicated. I don't know if you agree. I think I'm being a bit soft there, but like, it's the end of a series. Can you at least shake their hands once? You know, am I wrong on that? Or do you think that I'm right?
I don't care.
I just don't care. See, JR, I know it has been doing it for years. That usually involves regular season games or like mid-series games. It's the end of a series. Like, usually there's like an unwritten agreement. Like, end of a series, hockey, you have the handshake lines. Kind of the same idea, you know? I think it's just good
optics. I don't know, bro. Y'all can't say Bron don't. You can't say Bron always do that, because I have an iconic video of when Bron's going off the court and he dap up everybody on the Warriors. I don't know. Maybe he just don't like Denver. But he
to be dapped fair, up. He did,
hey,
he
when
did
he was leaving Cleveland, like, that last game in Cleveland, and he walked off that court, he dapped up everybody on the Warriors before he left off. It was like, hey, man, I see you up. Hey, next time. Yeah. All right.
Oh, no. See, you're forgetting something.
He did it at least once.
He dapped up all the Warriors with like 3 minutes left because they were down like 30.
Yeah. And then he left the game. And then it was over. He shook hands. I don't know. But, man. I don't care. Y'all can look into it.
It's not going to haunt me at night. I just was watching it going, all right, LeBron's still a sore loser and we'll move on from there. I'm not saying that there are many.
Nah, see, I didn't even think anything about it. Like, I didn't even look at it and like, oh, he's like, I just like, oh, they just lost. Like, everybody handles that differently. They just,
I get it. I maybe said something after the game to them. I just thought optically, as the best player, arguably of all time, you should have stayed around and shook their hands. But it's not the end of the world. It's not going to keep me up at night. I just thought it was a bad look.
Bro, I don't know, bro. I know a bunch of dudes that hoop and play that don't shake hands after the game and just be like, it's cool, like, but I'm just – and you're in a different mode. Like, you're in a different mode and you just lost. Like, I don't care. It's traumatic. I think losing is traumatic, and that's why I find it interesting that some people lose all the time and just continue to lose, because I think it's traumatic and you should – yeah, whatever. All right. Here we go. Playoffs. Make sure you tune into the NBA and Hockey Gambling Podcast all week to make sure that you get some hype playoff action. It can be NBA. It can be after. It can be hockey. Hey, guess what? The Derby is this week. Go make sure you check out the Derby, man. Derby on the Sports Gambling Podcast, and they're going to give you the picks. I'm looking to cash a superfecta. Is that it, Scott? A superfecta?
Superfecta is the four. If you get the four,
I want the super. Yeah, the one that goes. Yeah, I want that
one. The one that you can basically retire from if you hit.
Yep, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to cash the superfecta this weekend. So make sure you tap into NBA Gambling Podcast, Hockey Gambling Podcast, and the Sports Gambling Podcast to get your Derby Week picks. All right. Let's see here. We have the Philadelphia 76ers on the road going to play the New York Knicks. Knicks are up 3-1 in the series. Knicks are laying 4.5. Open up at 5.5. They're laying 4.5 here. 203 is the total. Injury report here. And it's a doozy because we've had some news for the 76ers. We're going to start with the Knicks because it's a little easier here. Brunson's probable. He's going to play. Mitchell Robinson is questionable with that ankle injury. And Jericho Sims is probable. Bojan Bogdanovic is out. And for the New York and for the 76ers, Kelly Oubre, probable. However, he did not attend shoot around this morning. And then we have Joel Embiid, who is questionable with a migraine. And he also did not attend shoot around this morning. So
there's a lot to unpack there. Yeah. Do we think Embiid's playing? Because that's the main thing we got to talk about here. You mentioned other guys, but Embiid's the main one to talk about.
He's probably going to play. He's probably going to play. I would assume he's going to play, but
for his sake, I hope. For his sake, he better play. Let's put it that way. With his playoff history, for his sake, he better play. After that fourth quarter in Game 4, he better play. It kind of just is a perfect summation for me of Embiid's entire career. And it's why I've never really been threatened by him in the playoffs. I just think he's a quitter. Now, I know playing with a migraine sucks. Scottie Pippen had the same thing happen in Game 7. People gave him shit for it for a long time with that Pistons series in the early 90s, potentially late 80s. But I don't know. It's just like a classic Embiid's like situation, you know? Like every other superstar, it's like, all right, it's fine. He had a bad quarter. They'll try to bounce back. And it's Embiid. He's calling out the fans, and then he's potentially exhausted, and he's got the leg issue, but he scores 50 points in a game. And now he's got a migraine issue out of nowhere, and he might not play in this elimination game. And yeah, I don't know how people put up with Embiid, honestly. I understand that he's a great player, and he's an MVP. I get it. If you're a fan of Embiid, and there's not many, because I think a lot of people just hate watching him play basketball, unethical hoop man. Damn, there's a lot of excuses in every playoff series. and it never goes well. He's always injured in the playoffs, and he doesn't win anything. I feel like people need to be more aware of that. I've been saying for years, I don't think Embiid's the number one option on a title team. And it's not because of talent, just because of mental makeup. I just don't think he's wired to be the best player on a title team. Embiid being questionable with any type of migraine or any type of injury, I think is less surprising as a superstar than others. Let's put it that way. I think Embiid is a historical quitter. So we'll see how, if Embiid shows up for this game. I'll put it this way. I think he's going to play. If he does not, I will be less shocked than other people. Just going to throw that out there. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but there's always something with Embiid in the playoffs. Migraine, leg injury, just there's always something. And I feel like this is not that surprising. You agree with that? Or do you think I'm being harsh?
I mean, I agree. As always, he always has an injury. We don't get on Anthony Davis and don't get on Joel Embiid. I feel like we said that part. I feel like my take on Joel Embiid is pretty much the same as it's always been. When he's healthy, he's easily one of the best players in the league and MVP candidate. And it's not a question. And that was really my whole basis of backing an entire Philly run is that, hey, man, if there's a chance that Joel Embiid is completely healthy throughout the duration of this run, they're going to make it far because he's that good. And he's been that good over the course of the entire year. And the frustrating thing about the playoff run is that you clearly see at what point in the game where everything that he's muscling through wears down on him in the fourth quarter, and then he absolutely does nothing. Like, absolutely nothing. So, hey, man, I mean, it's going to be a long offseason. I'll say that. I mean, it's not over. It's not over until the fat lady sings. Yeah. Oh, I'm not picking the Knicks to win the game. I'm not picking the Knicks to win the game.
That's fair. For the Knicks' sake, with Embiid being questionable and with the momentum being entirely in your favor in the series, I don't want to compare it exactly to the Denver game against the Lakers, but you make the argument it's the same because it was 3-1. Different because it was 3-0 for the Lakers, but still. The point is,
Denver is a championship team, though. And they've, you know, I think that this is going to be the game, just purely as a Knicks fan and not as somebody that's not trying to jinx the Knicks out of anything. My take on this is I would very much curious to see if they can close out right here. You know, a really, like, despite what it looks like, this Philly team is still a pretty solid team. Can they close out right here and make it 5? Does this have to go to 6? Do you have to go back to Philly? Can you close out on your own floor? Because it's really, really hard to do that. Like, despite how everybody, it's a lot of pressure. It's really hard to do that. And when teams do it, everybody thinks that, oh, it's easy. You just did. No, it's really, really hard to close a team out because desperation is set in for the other team. They're doing everything they can to win. So,
oh, no. So I was comparing it to Denver based on the sense of urgency. That's all I was going with that. Just talking about how you don't want to give the other team extra life when you don't need to. That's where I was going to go with that.
No, but so, I mean, but it's the same. That's why it's hard to close out. Like, it's a lot of pressure. And a lot of teams, like, we've seen it. We've seen Boston do it last year. Like, they had the chance to close the Hawks out and just ended on the home floor, and they couldn't. Like, we've seen teams do this before. So that's where I'm curious with this one. Is this Knicks team, how are they going to approach this playoff run? Are they going to be able to have the wherewithal and to just close out on their home floor? I understand the situation the Knicks are in. I understand the situation I would like to see the Knicks in the future. And for to not jinx anything and not to mess anything up in the future, I am picking 76ers plus 4.5, but I'm only picking that for one reason. I'm not saying the reason. I feel like everybody should be able to read it between the lines on what that reason is, but I am taking the 76ers plus 4.5 here.
Yeah, I'm going to lean Sixers as well initially. That's what I was going to do. But now you have the Embiid migraine BS, and now I don't know what the hell to do with this. If I'm going to ask you this, though, with the migraine rumors and based on what happened last year in Embiid's history, what's the chance he basically just knows he just quits on the game at some point? I actually think it's higher than people want to admit. It would not shock me if Embiid potentially no-shows this game. Ends up with an okay stat line, but not for his standards in order for them to win. I'm talking
what's an okay stat line? 25.
Give or take. 25 on mediocre shooting?
Okay, that could be a bad game. 25.
That's what I'm saying. Like a bad game.
I was about to say 25 is still 25, but like I get what you're saying.
But for Embiid, he needs to average like 35 per game for the rest of the series. But I think he's going to quit again. Just simply put, based on what I've heard from the past couple of hours and based on what I think is going to happen, I think Embiid's going to quit. I think things are going to go poorly early and he's going to quit. So I'm going to lean Knicks. I thought about taking the Sixers. I probably would have because they've been very competitive in Madison Square Garden for the first two games of the series. But yeah, this Joel news is disappointing because I feel like I've seen this movie before. So I'm going to lean Knicks here. I think the Sixers hang around, but I think at some point there's going to be some type of situation with Embiid where he kind of no-shows it again. Either he runs out of gas or his migraines bothering him, whatever. Give me the Knicks. I think they win this game by like six.
If I have to bet against the Knicks in every game for the rest of the playoffs, I will if it means they'll go to the
Because you're a good fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm like, I support what you're doing.
Yeah, like I truly don't care if I have to do it. And this is the only way. I mean, I've learned my lesson. The other playoff runs when I was cheering for him, it didn't work. Got to try something new. Sometimes you got to switch it up. Hey, man, the total's at 203.5, though. 202.5, actually. No, it's at 203.5. It's gone up. 203.5. So what do you want to do here?
By the way, I have to guess because we have to do the what ref is it? Scott Foster.
Oh, yeah. Because we do have tonight. A Scott Foster signing. We do. We have a Scott Foster sighting, and I wanted to ask you what game did you think the Scott Foster
I didn't
Foster
check, though, was. Because Terrell told me that in advance I should not look it up because we were going to try
and
to get
don't look at the chat right now because they're probably going to spoil it.
It's tricky because this series will make the league more money, but the Bucks are absolutely screwed with all their injuries. So they really do need Scott Foster to try to keep the Bucks alive, but it's better for the league if the Sixers win this game. So I'm going to guess he's in MSG.
All right. Let's get ready to rumble. We are going to play a fun game of ref or no ref. Scott has said that Scott Foster is here in Philadelphia. The crew chief for Philadelphia versus the New York Knicks game five in New York is James Capers.
It sucks. They threw him in Milwaukee? Oh, come on, man.
James
They're trying
Capers
to stall for Giannis to come back?
Crew,
all right. That's unfortunate. Good
today.
For you.
James for you. Capers, 22. Yeah, great for me. Well, no, not as good because I'm on Philadelphia.
Oh, all right. That's right. Okay.
James Capers, 22 and 26 ATS to the home team, 22 and 26 over under. He is going to be aided by Curtis Blair tonight. Curtis Blair is 31 and 32 to the home team, 31 and 32 to the under, well, to the over under, so leaning to the under. And then we also have Nick Burchett, I think. 25, 35 to the home team. Holy shit.
That's actually a very solid road ref right there.
Holy shit. And 34, 25 to the over. Damn. 25 and 35 to the road team. I mean, to the home team. Shit. That is a really good road ref. All right. Here we go.
I found the total very confusing because I know the game four was a rock fight, mostly for that fourth quarter where both teams couldn't score. Brunson at about 48. Embiid was on pace for an okay game, and then the fourth quarter came around and he scored 0 points. Or he scored 1 point, whatever. He did basically nothing the entire quarter, and Philly's offense fell apart. We saw two elimination games yesterday, and we ended up seeing a pretty ugly set of games in terms of over-unders because the Pelicans game flew under and the Lakers game went under.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to lean over in this one. You can argue maybe the refs will let them kill each other. Maybe they won't. Maybe Embiid will no-show the game based on a migraine. But this total, I think, is too low. I think both teams have star players that are kind of unstoppable just based on what I've seen in the series, at least at points in the series. So with that being the case, I'm going to lean over. I just think both teams can manufacture enough offense, with the exception of a very ugly fourth quarter in that Knicks and Sixers game, or even the third quarter as well. The pace wasn't that bad for the over, and it kind of just died out there. Maybe you see the Sixers fouling a bit more if they're down and they're trying to prolong the series by fouling and keeping the game afloat. We'll see what happens, but I'm going to lean over. I just think 202.5 is too low for these two teams. I understand this total for the Heat series because the Heat can't score. I can understand this total for the Magic series because both those teams can't score. This series, I'm going to disagree with the total. I just think both teams have more scoring options than those other series that had the same exact total. So I'm going to lean over. If it doesn't get there, it's probably because of a really bad second half. So I don't mind the first half over if I had to pick my main total lean here. But with Brunson putting up 48 points and 10 assists, and with Embiid putting up 50 earlier in the series, I can't take an under. I just can't do it. So I'm going to lean to the over in this game. This total feels a bit low to me.
Yeah, I think the reason that I'm going over is that even though there's been some low totals in this series, only one of them, if I have this correct, and I believe I do, only one of them has actually gone under this total.
And not the last game.
That was the last game. And that's probably why, you know, the total's so low. They see it hits 189. Everything else has been pretty much flying over this. Even the lowest scoring game out of that group still got over this number. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I'm with you. I'll take the over 203.5. I think there is just a slightly tad but too much scoring. And this is a pretty drastic response to 189 points scored last game. So yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's see here. Player props.
Josh Hart rebounds. Dennis Rodman Jr. rebounds. I'll take the over on him.
It's at 11.5.
I don't give a damn, man. I don't care what the number is. Guy had 2 points and 17 rebounds. Guy could play for my team any day of the week. He's my favorite role player in the league. I've been saying it for a year and a half. All I needed was Thibodeau to play him 48 minutes for people to realize how good he is. He's so damn good at basketball. I believe I tweeted it out a year or two ago. If you Googled a picture, if you Googled a winning player or like the fine winning player and hit Google Images, you just get a picture of Josh Hart. I just love that damn player so much. As a Nets fan, it pains me that he's on the Knicks, but Thibodeau using him as well as he has, even with him and OG together, that's just such a hell of a tandem. Yeah, give me Hart rebounds. 11.5, give me a break. Hart's going to be flying all over the damn place. Yeah, I'll take Hart's rebounds as my first player prop. I'm assuming you co-signed that?
Oh, yeah. The minus 140 is kind of killing me. I think I'd just go ahead and give me 12.5 at some plus money. I think I'd be cool with that. Because I think he's still in for a really good day.
What adjustments do you think the Sixers make on Brunson? Because Brunson's had the assists and the masterclass games offensively. Oubre calls him out for shooting too much, which doesn't make any damn sense because he's shooting over 50% in last game. He shot like 52%. And Oubre's going, that's a lot of shots. And Barkley said the same thing in Inside the NBA after like game 3. Like he's shooting. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? How are you going to roast the guy that's been killing your entire defense? Brunson has had 39-13 and 48-10 in back-to-back games. You're arguing he's shooting too much? Huh? What are you talking about? Like, I don't know what the hell Oubre's point is, but how do you want to back Brunson? Do the Sixers start blindly double-teaming him? Do you like his assists? Do you like his points? All the above? I don't understand this criticism of Brunson. I understand it if you're going to be, I don't make a bad comp, but like, Washington Westbrook, or maybe OKC Westbrook in the playoffs against Houston, and you're going to score 40 points, but you're going like 14 of 35 from the floor. Like, if you're inefficient, okay, I understand the argument. If you're shooting over 50%, you can shoot however many times you want to shoot. Like, I don't understand this argument, but the point is Brunson's had the points and the assists. So, which one do you like more out of an angle for an elimination game?
Well, they actually defended him pretty well in New York the first two games, and yep. It kind of makes you question. And I think they say that the chop to the neck or the elbow to the neck from Embiid was the thing that kind of woke him up, and he kind of just went into a different mode from there. But I think that's really just it. Like, you just throw additional bodies at them, try to make them uncomfortable, and hope that you get a bad shooting day. Hope that you're making every shot a tough shot. Like, he's not getting any easy looks. He's not easily cutting to the basket. He's not just driving. Like, you're making every single shot a tough shot. And if he kills you, then just, it is what it is. Jalen Brunson is that good. And I don't think people understand. Jalen Brunson is that good that where you can sit there and say, hey, man, if he only gets 25, that's a good day for us. Like, if he only to 30 and it's inefficient, then that is a great day for us. Like, Brunson's one of those type of guys. Like, he's gonna have good games. I don't want to fade Brunson.
Well, I wouldn't want to fade Brunson either, because I would personally vote him first team All NBA. He's not gonna get there. They're gonna give it to Tatum instead. But I would personally vote him over Tatum for first team All NBA. The point is assists versus points, or do you want both? Because he's putting up the assists and the points.
Yeah, I take both. I'm not afraid.
I think I'm leaning to the assists more.
When's the last time the Knicks had a point guard like this? Like, this is just unreal.
Like, this, like, never. He set the franchise record for playoff points in a game. Like, never. You have never had a point guard like this. If you want to make an argument just going all the way back, I mean, Frazier? If you want to just talk about impact.
I would play 8.5 assists, 106.
Saying for a point guard though, what you're talking about, Clyde? Like, is that as far back as you go?
No.
Like,
I can't think of any time since I personally have been watching the Knicks with my two eyes that I've seen the Knicks have a point guard like
this. That's why I said
except maybe for a day. For a day in that 2 week stretch. That 2 week stretch is not on the level.
You mean the Lakers game or the buzzer beater against Toronto? Because that's like a two separate moments you could choose from.
Okay, so maybe it's two. And that's borderline touching what Brunson is doing right now. Like, it's really
Brunson's having one of the greatest stretches in Knicks history, regardless of actual position. You could put some Ewing stuff in there, some Bernard King stuff up there. Allen Houston against the Heat, I think, in the first round could be up there too. But the point is, I do think that Brunson, I'll take the assists there. At some point, Nurse has to double. At some point. Like, I know you're going to leave some guys open. I get it. You can't keep letting Brunson drop basically 40 on your head. At some point, you're going to have to trap or double on every single screen. And I know guys are going to be wide open. But you can't guard Brunson. You just can't do it. Brunson remembered how to shoot the ball after the first two games. And he's been unstoppable ever since. So I like the assists more. I think if you're going to talk about an adjustment Nurse has to make, he's going to have to pick his poison. And I think at this point, you're going to force anybody but Brunson to beat you. So I like Brunson assists more than anything.
All right. NBA playoffs are here. And our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make sure make it a lot more interesting. Look, easiest place to play fantasy sports. You can play higher or lower on a whole bunch of different players' fantasy stats. And guess what? It doesn't have to be just basketball. You can throw some hockey in there. You can throw some baseball in there. You can throw some golf in there. Tennis, Scott. You know, tennis plays in there. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. We're going to drop our Underdog picks lineup at the end of the show. And so make sure that you also, Florida. Hey, Florida, they have their champions format, their player versus player format in Florida. So make sure you sign up all the Floridians with promo code NBASGPN. That's SGPN for everybody to sign up. And they will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code NBASGPN.
Do you know if they have horses, by the way, for Underdog? Because I know we got the Derby coming up.
I have not seen horses.
Okay. We're just wondering if they had some potential options for the upcoming race.
Oh, wait. Well, this says no. I don't see.
All right. Never mind then.
I don't see. Whoa. Well, I see. Hey, man, if you want to take a higher or lower on Kendrick Nunn in, what is this, Greece?
They have Greece basketball? That's hype.
I think this is Greece. What is this? I don't know how to pronounce this place. I have to look it up now. I have to stop what we're doing and look it up, because where is Kendrick Nunn playing basketball right now? Why do we have his prop available? And is this a good play? Yeah, this is Greece. This is definitely a Greek name for sure. What's Kendrick Nunn been doing? 16.5 over there. Kendrick Nunn should be able to do that, right?
Forget about that. He's actually playing games. That's the real surprise of this information. He's playing games.
Oh, well. Well, I mean, he's been over 16 and a half in two of the last five.
We really turned this into a deep dive on Kendrick Nunn. I'm in for it.
I mean, 10, 8, 28, 17, 16, 22, 15, 17, 10, 7. I see why it's at 16 and a half.
You know who I saw, by the way, that had a very, very deep end of shot clock three-pointer last night from like 40 feet? Mario Hezonja. Saw that happen yesterday. Thought you'd appreciate it.
Mario Hezonja, that's a throwback name. That's Perry. Like, that's one of those names where they say name a random NBA player and you'd be like, Mario Hezonja.
The only thing people remember that, especially Knicks fans, were him was him
okay.
dunking.
All right, boom. But here we go. Kendrick Nunn is at 1.5 three-pointers. Here are his last few games in threes. 2 for 5, 1-0 for 1, 5 for 8, 2 for 4, 2 for 6, 2 for 5, 3 for 4, 4 for 5, 2 for 7, 3 for 6. That's the play on Kendrick Nunn.
Take the higher on Nunn.
Take the higher. Kendrick Nunn, higher, 1.5 three-pointers made. This tips at 11 p.m. Eastern, so YouTube crowd is going to be the only crowd that gets that play, but Kendrick Nunn, higher, 1.5 three-pointers made. All right, I'm mad that I went through that rabbit hole, but I thought
I'm kind of happy you went down a tangent there. I like it.
Yeah, like, it was just a random Kendrick Nunn play here. Come on. Why not? All right. The Cleveland Cavaliers are back at home in Game 5 to welcome the Orlando Magic. Series is tied 2-2. The series has also not started yet, by the way, if anybody was wondering or keeping score. -4.5, 206.5 is total. And no, it's at 5 now. It's up at 5. So Cleveland laying 5 here. Injury report for these teams and anything different? Nope. Clean and pretty clean. Credit Porter Jr. is still out. We do that. Dean Wade's gone for the rest of the series. We do that. Are we sticking with the home team, Scott? Because that's what I want to do.
Initially, when I broke down the series, I basically had the exact same situation as the Maverick-Sun series, where I was going to pick the home team to win the first six games, and then Orlando would find a way to beat Cleveland in Game 7, as the road team would only win the arguably hardest game to win. That was my initial angle. Then the Magic figured some stuff out offensively, and I'm trying not to be a prisoner of the moment. I know, I'm trying not to be.
I'm so disappointed.
About this.
No, because you've already changed your mind. Like, you're talking, but you've already changed your mind. Scott,
thing is, I don't know if I've changed my mind enough to say Orlando's going to win the game. The question is, should Cleveland actually be favored by 4.5? Is there really value on Cleveland -4.5? Because Orlando has made adjustments. They have definitely worked on some things. And Franz Wagner, I can remember, had to play basketball. He was so damn good in game 4. What do you have, like 34 and 13? He was so damn good. Cleveland can't score. Even in the home games they won, they can't score. So the question is, do I want to lay 4.5?
Here's my question. Or here's my, because this is how I ultimately said there's no way I'm taking the Magic here on the road, at least. If the Magic do not get out to a lead and are not controlling this game from start to finish, if this is a close game in the fourth quarter, who do you think for the Magic pulls them and gets them the win? Who do you think steps up and gets them the win?
And the answer is going to have to be Banchero or Wagner. And historically speaking, that's probably not a great option. So
yeah, I'm taking Cleveland.
But I think that's going to segue into something that I do like in this game. I think I am going to pick Cleveland to win. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lay 4.5. What I think I am going to do to kind of buck the trend of the series, I am actually picking a competitive game. I am not picking Cleveland to win this game by double digits at home. Give me Cleveland 1-10.
There it goes.
I think it's a close game.
Yeah, I agree.
So that'll be my compromise. I think Orlando hangs in there. They don't get totally embarrassed, but I will go with the home team. Give me Cleveland 1-10. I'll try to find the best price. Do you co-sign that?
Yeah, that's how I would play. Because I'm concerned for the Magic cover there. I am. I'm concerned at the chance that the Magic do cover the five, because I think that this is going to be a part where the Magic probably play some solid basketball and this is a close game, but they fall apart in the fourth quarter because they don't have that fourth quarter option yet. Yet he's on the team. He's just not at that level yet.
He's working on
comfortable. Yeah, I just don't think he's on the level where you're going to go into an on the road environment game five and you're going to clutch that out in the fourth quarter. Now, he could very much prove me wrong, very, very much, and I am waiting for it. But as from what I've seen right now, I just don't think that's the case. So I'm taking Cleveland minus five because I'm just going to hope that the free throws, even though this is a close game, hopefully the free throws get us over the five at the end. But yours is the better play. That's probably the bet that I will make in terms of what I actually put my money on. Cleveland 1-10, whatever that plus money price
is. Plus 165.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I like the under.
Yep. That's how I feel too, JR. Orlando first half, Cleveland full. But there's also a chance that Cleveland controls the start to tip. That's why I just don't have it on the card yet. But I do think that Orlando is at least in the game for majority of the game. Like, I don't think that this is going to be Cleveland coming back home and blowing them out.
I think it's going to be a closer game. So 1-10 plus 165. That's my main link for the matchup. I'm hoping Orlando wins because I picked Orlando to win the series. But actually, no, I need Orlando to win one more game because I had Orlando plus 1.5 games as my lock on one of the mothership shows. So hopefully they win one more game. But I'm going to lean to Orlando to keep it competitive, but it's tough to go against the home teams when the home teams have won every game. So
I think the script is still here. All the home teams win, and then game seven, Cleveland finds some way to blow it.
That's what I said I think was going to happen.
I feel like that script is still in play here, so let's keep it going. Cleveland, minus five.
I'm assuming you like total, the under in this game.
Total's at 201.5.
I can't take an over. An over's cashed, what, one time in this entire series? I can't.
Let me double check.
I'm like 99% sure it's cashed one time, and that was because it went over on a garbage time three with like 45 seconds to send the game over. That's the only time the game's gone over. So I'll go back to the under on this one.
I wonder what's carrying this line movement over, though.
Because it opened up at 199.
Oh, well, it looks like it's people betting the over.
It's been the same story in every single game for the actual total, where it was too high initially in the first couple games. It was at like 208 and 203. Then it dipped to around 200. The last couple games, it like opened up at 199.5. Like it opened up below 200, and it's been slammed over because total
below 200
in today's NBA are kind of disgusting. But we've seen the same exact line movement for the last couple games. The bookmakers opened up the total at 199.5, and it immediately got slammed and closed to like 201.5, 202. It's been the same story for the last couple games. So,
70% of people are betting the over in this game. What?
I guess the argument is Orlando figured out the offense.
Hold on. That can't be right. Chat, if you're in the chat right now, if you can type in the chat, please just, if you had to take a guess, just let me know, what do you think this total is going to land at? I'm curious. I'm really curious. And what is the percentage of our chat that actually thinks this game is going over? Because it's
If I had to guess a total where this lands, I think it gets into the 190s, but I'll give it like 192.
But so how are people betting over? 70% of the bets are on the over tonight.
My point is I don't know if that percentage includes the current number or that includes the opening number, because the line has gone up about 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, even opening up at two, like, I mean, honestly, truly, like, if this, okay, so let's say it's not 201.5, and let's say it's 200 where it opened at. Are you still taking the over?
I wouldn't do it.
So how are people betting over? I don't get it.
I think it might be because, based on game script, the last couple of games have actually been trending well over, and the fourth quarter has absolutely died. So maybe the argument is, unless the fourth quarter is once again an absolute rock fight, those games should, keyword should, have gone over. I don't care about that logic because you're supposed to have at least one bad quarter when these teams get together. So that's the argument. The argument is, if you avoid garbage time, you might get a competitive fourth quarter with some points. I think that's the argument people are making.
JT Max saying they playing straight prison ball tonight. Ooh-wee. All right. Under 201.5. I'm actually kind of shocked at 70% of people betting over. And now I'm really curious on what the end result is going to be. No way. No way the public is that. I just don't understand why you would think this is going over from what the rest of the games. I mean, I get the tempo of what you said, but like putting money on it, really? Maybe I'm talking enough shit and it's actually going to go over. I don't know. This game's been horribly paced. These two teams can't score. Maybe it's just because we hate these teams. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's because we hate these teams.
Well, it's because the under bettors are rich. That's including myself, just based on betting the unders in every game. So if
Dang,
you're
and the
3-1,
Celtics.
I'm not gonna mess with it. So yeah, I'm gonna keep taking the unders. I'm 3-1 on the unders in the series. I'm not gonna reinvent the wheel here.
Celtics got to play one of these two teams too. It's
Yeah.
crazy. All right, player props.
You want to go first? Do you like anybody?
Can I do a
I'm
max
assuming you
on
like
these again?
rebounds. You like Jared Allen because we're picking the under in this game.
Man, if this total is at 201, what is a game total? The game seven total? 195?
I would say 195 bet up to 197.5.
Like what? It's got to be. It's
And
got
I'm taking the
the game
under.
seven total.
I would take
Yeah,
the under
no,
in
for
that in two
sure. I
seconds.
would 100% as well. So, all right. The one person that's going to score today is probably going to be it's going to be one scorer. That's all I want. I
You
just want the
going
one
Mitchell?
scorer.
I'm trying to think of where you're going with this.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going with it as well. Because
This
in these
series
under
is so
games,
tough for
how you
player
make
prop.
money, like how you these fun things and make money in these under games is like picking the one person to have a great game because you take that in the under and it's like crazy juice. Like somebody's 30, you know, like a plus money on a points prop and then the under and it juices and all of that. And I would love to play that today. But I hate everybody.
That sounds right.
I'm trying not to be biased. Gonna let you go first. What do you like?
Well, to be real, you hate Wendell Carter more than anybody else on in this
No,
game.
I do. I actually do.
Yeah, that's why I'm gonna say he gets a
I
special
would
treatment
play
of hatred there.
his unders. I would play his unders.
So I don't know how much of it's gonna be home road splits for Orlando because we saw Banchero and Wagner play very, very well in Orlando, but they sucked in the first couple games of the series.
Well, my parents got last game.
Yeah, but I'm saying Franz was unbelievable. That's the best game Franz has played arguably ever, and he's had a
Oh.
pretty underwhelming year. Still can't shoot from the outside. He had 34 points and he can't hit a jump shot, but yeah, he still had a very solid game in general. I think for this one, if I had to pick the one guy to randomly have a good game that people aren't anticipating, my guess would be Jalen Suggs. Just because I know he's going to keep shooting if things don't go well, because he kind of has that, I don't want to say alpha, but that confidence in himself where he's just going to keep firing no matter what happens. So I think Suggs would be my option if I had to guess there. If you wanted to find a pretty underrated prop that's worth considering, you can find Suggs under 1.5 turnovers at plus 124. He's actually been very good at limiting the turnovers here. He had 7 last game, which is kind of wild. But before that 7, he had less than 2 in 9 straight games. Actually, even longer than that, I believe. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He had 10 straight games with less than 2 turnovers, and he had 7 in the last game. I don't know what the hell happened in the last game. So if you want to go back to those trends, maybe it's a decent spot to buy low, I guess, or sell high in this case on Suggs turnovers, because 1.5 at plus money, historically speaking, is actually worth something in the spot. Who do I think steps up for Cleveland? I think it's going to be Jared Allen. I just think if Cleveland's going to win, they got to go back to dominating the paint. And I think that with that being the case, Allen should be in line for a good game. So I don't mind Allen potentially blocks, or if you want to go for the rebounds as well, I think that's worth a look. Yeah, I don't really like anybody. You mentioned it. Maybe Cole-Anthony unders. He has not been very good, but his number's at like 7.5 points and assists, so I can't even take that. There's really not much I like with these teams. So yeah, I don't have much to add. I just think it's a weird game. We're rooting for unders. Give us rebounds.
Yeah, no, Jared Allen at home had two really good rebounding games. He had 9 in back-to-back games, I think, recently, but the two games at home, I think one of them he had 20. I know he had 20 in one of them for sure. 20 and 18. So he had 16 and 18 in game one, 16 and 20 in game two, and then 8 rebounds and 9 rebounds on the road. So Jared Allen rebounds back at home could be another play, especially a lot of misses on that Orlando side of the ball. So, yeah, Jared Allen rebounds. I could get behind that play. I think
I'm going to throw in one under so people can bet the over. It's not going to be a center, though, so it might not work out. But I'll go with Gary Harris under 5.5 points. He's been awful in the series, and he's been getting less actual runtime if you've been going through the actual minutes here. For the first two games, he played 33-plus minutes. So 33 minutes in game one, 34 minutes in game two. 21 minutes in game three, 23 minutes in game four. He scored less than 4 points in 3 of the 4 games in the series. He scored less than 4 points in 5 of the last 6 games. Give me Gary Harris under 5.5 points at plus 112, which means he's hitting 2 3-pointers in the first 5 minutes, but I'll go with the under 5.5 points for Harris. Plus money? I'll take plus money for a guy that's been terrible in the series. They're playing him less. They know he can't play in the series.
Who said that? I want to make sure I credit the person. Ryan Mullen. He mentioned it, and I just went back and looked because I didn't even think about it. But Ben Carroll turnovers.
He's going under game in two one, straight games, though. It's at 4.5.
Game one, 9 games. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. We're back on the road here.
Yeah. If you want to back that, then you're on the over for her. But yeah, you might want to take an all turnovers if you're back on that bandwagon.
Yeah, 9 and 6, and then... Zero
in game this is literally so funny, by the
this,
way.
But this is, and he had 31. He had a great game, 31 and 14. Like, zero this is so it. Funny. He goes back on the road. He turns the ball over more. Like, yes, this is perfect. This is,
exactly I might honestly take an all turnovers if you wanted to do that approach. You can get 5.5 probably at a very good price.
Well, let's find out what that price is.
So, if you could even get all turnovers, I'm not even sure if they have that market.
Oh, no, either. I'm going to look. Pretty sure DK does turnovers.
I still want to bet on people's plus minuses, and we still never were able to do that.
OG.
I think it was a hell of an idea. OG, the all-time.
Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to do it eventually. All right, let's see here. What is your... I don't even care. 4.5 turnovers is plus 120.
Yeah. So that's plus 120. I would love 5.5. But
he's gone over in both games on the road in the series already. I do like that play. So thank you, Ryan McMullen. I like that.
And he also had 4 in the last game, and they pulled the starters with like 5-6 minutes to go. So if the game's close, he'll play more minutes.
This is going over. This is going over. I like it. Who else was turning the ball over a lot that was underrated that nobody might be talking about anymore? Was it Max Strus? Was it Strus?
Let me check. I already mentioned the under for Suggs turnovers.
It was somebody. Nice. It was somebody on this Cleveland team that used to turn the ball over crazy, and it was Strus. Like,
I mean, Strus used to. I mean, that was when Mitchell was injured. I gave him out a couple of times, but okay, he's over okay. 1.5.
I was about to say I knew there was a turnover prop somewhere that we used to play for.
Yeah,
for
Strus is plus 136 for over 1.5 turnovers.
Okay, all right. I'm not. Maybe I won't do that today, but you're lucky. You're lucky. All right. Back arrow. Over 4.5 turnovers. Plus 120.
Do you want to just move on to the next game?
Next last game on the slate here. We have the Indiana Pacers on the road going to play the Milwaukee Bucks. Pacers are up 3-1 in the series. Opened up at 3.5. It's now currently... Wait, no. Did it open up at 3.5 or did I make that up?
It wouldn't shock me because Lillard and Giannis are doubtful and Middleton's banged up. Yes. So it probably did move in favor of Indiana.
Open up at 3.5 is now sitting at 4. 216 is the total injury report here for both of these two teams. And we have Tyrese Halliburton questionable with a back injury, back spasms.
Okay.
And for the Bucks, Giannis and Dame, as you already alluded to, both doubtful, probably not playing today, more than likely not playing today. Chris Middleton is probable. Patrick Beverley is probable. Chris Livingston not on the injury report. And here we go. We have the extender, Scott Foster, leading away this referee assignment, backed up by Sean Wright and Sean Corbin, both of the Seans. That's got to be kind of interesting of a dynamic. By the way, Tony Brothers is in Cleveland. I didn't mention that. I saw it, but I didn't mention it. But Tony Brothers is in Cleveland tonight.
He should be in one of these. I thought he's the backup extender. He should be in one of those other two games. So the fact that he's in the Cleveland game is kind of off to me.
They did kind of waste it. I feel like they wasted a Tony Brothers sighting tonight. They could have did that better. All right. This is also, look, Drewski just dropped it in the chat, and this is literally the question. At this point, this is the only question. Why are they only favored by 4.5? Why is that only, like, no Dame, no Giannis, and this line is only 4.5? It's either it stinks or this is so disrespectful.
It's because you got the extender. You got the extender in the building. Come on.
I don't know, bro.
Worth like 7 points by himself.
There's no way you look at this line and say this should be the line. If you told me that Pacers were playing a Bucks team with no Dame and no Giannis.
Oh, no, it'd be like 6.5, 7.5.
It automatically starts at two possessions, and it can go up from there. But it's definitely 6.5. It starts at 6.5.
You could argue that Foster's overdue for an extender game because he failed.
Yeah, when the last time we talked about an extender game with Scott Foster?
We talked about it in the Suns series, and the Suns got swept. He tried his best, though. Booker had like 20-plus free throws. He really tried his best out there, but it didn't work out. So maybe he'll go extra hard. I feel like the main reason why this line is so low, besides the Scott Foster stuff, is because of the fact that even though the Pacers shot the ball insanely well from three at home, they cannot have shot really any better from three. Indiana in game four shot 22 of 43 from three, 51.2%. And they only ended up winning by 13. And Portis got ejected. Like, it really felt like a game that Indiana should have won by 20. And Milwaukee kind of hung in there. That was a one possession game about halfway through the fourth quarter, or like early fourth quarter. So I guess the argument is if Indiana goes a little bit cold from three, Milwaukee might be there, and Portis should play in this game, assume he doesn't get ejected again, so that could be another angle. I think it's based on expecting shooting regression from Indiana after shooting that well from three and still not really dominating the game the way that they should have. I think that would be the counterpoint. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I think that's the angle. You? I have to invent an angle, so that's the angle I'm going to invent.
So Tyrese Halliburton has essentially done scoring has done nothing this series.
It was decent last game though.
But that's why I say that essentially. He had the last game, but prior to that, it didn't look good. He wasn't taking shots in the first game, shot 40%, shot 36%. We go and everybody knows I was on the Halliburton. You're at home. It's your first home playoff game. You can hit 2.5 threes, and he went 1 for 12.
To be fair, he did have the game winning and one, so I guess he made it up for it himself, but not for you. To be fair,
yeah, not at all. And now he's dealing with the back. Pascal Siakam has come back down to life and proven that he is actually a human.
Yeah,
because he wasn't for game one and two.
He won them game two by himself, if we're being honest. But, yeah.
This is pretty easy for me. I think we got to go Bucks, man. I really think we got to go Bucks here. Does this Pacers team have what it takes to close out on the road in this situation, knowing both of the stars are not playing?
This really is such a letdown spot
of all letdown spots in the playoffs. Like, this is going to be the Bobby Portis at home game where everybody's chanting Bobby. He just got ejected last game. He's going to go in here. He's probably going to go for 25 and 12.
I feel like the one wrinkle or one thing I have to mention, which kind of ties back to Embiid and how I was critical of him. Do we think a Doc Rivers team rolls over here? Usually they're up 3-1. They're not down 3-1. But we've seen Doc Rivers teams no-show a lot of elimination games in years past. I don't know if Doc gets his guys up for this game. That's the other question that I have here. Because I agree with you. I think it's a phenomenal letdown spot. You saw Halliburton criticize the Milwaukee crowd, talking about how they played regular season games that were had a better environment than the Bucks playoff games. They won both home games. You're going back to Milwaukee. Indiana, back of their mind, probably.
They're going to lose this game.
We're going to win game six.
They're going to lose this game. Doc can't screw this up. They're going to lose this game. I forgot the Indiana home crowd. I've been in regular season game. I forgot
Milwaukee that. The fan base better show up for this damn game. Let's put it that way. They better show up. I know it's not as appealing as Giannis and Dame are out, but Halliburton called out your entire fan base. You kind of have to sell out the arena. I might actually lean Milwaukee here.
And quiet as kept, Brooke Lopez has been pretty solid, man. The entire series. Yeah, he had 22 in game two. He's been shooting. Well, you know, he always shoots the ball really well, a lot under the basket. But he's been hitting his threes more consistently as well, shooting 55% from three over the course of the series. This is Bucks.
Do we think Giannis or Dame are actually close to returning? Asking you, do you think that Giannis or Dame are one game away from returning?
I'm going to tell myself that they are to make me feel better about taking the Bucks here. I have no idea. I'm not going to lie to you. I really have no idea, but I'm going to tell myself that they're one game away. And hey, if we figure this out, then we go on the road with Dame and Giannis back, and we go and we try.
I'm going the opposite way. I think we'd be better off if they're not likely to return, because Indiana might be more likely to overlook the game.
I think as soon as they were doubtful, I think that they were already overlooking this game. I think they already think they have this locked up. You're up 3-1 and their two stars are out. Everybody on Twitter is going to be in flames when the Pacers lose this game, but such a letdown spot.
I'll put it this way. For the record, Indiana should try to end the series as quickly as possible, because you don't want to take a chance Giannis comes back and suddenly you're in a sweat when you're up 3-1. Having said that, I do think in the back of their mind, Indiana's an experienced team. I think they might be trying to prematurely pack their bags for round two. That's always a concern.
Yeah.
So I'll take Bucks first half.
And trust me, as much as I hate Doc Rivers, I actually don't like Rick Carlisle that much either. So
Doc does a good job, historically speaking, of getting his role players to step up when star players are out.
It's Papa Doc. He just goes over to you and he coaches you like your dad is coaching you. Like, hey, son, you can do this. You can figure this out. Just go out there, have fun, and do it for me. That's how he ends every single huddle. That's how he ends. Hey, just go out there, have fun, and do it for me.
I'll put it this way. I think Doc, the one area he is very good at, you mentioned coaching up the younger guys or the role players. He is very good historically at making games competitive when his team's missing a bunch of star players. Historically, he is very good in that spot. Give me Milwaukee first half. I'm not going to take the full game. I don't want to trust Doc Rivers in a late game situation. I'm not going to bother. But I do expect shooting regression from Indiana. They shot so damn well. Miles Turner couldn't miss a three-pointer. He went 7 of 9 from three. I'll dare them to make some shots from the outside. Give me Milwaukee with a prideful showing for 24 minutes. Maybe it unravels after that, but I think they show up in the first half. So give me Milwaukee first half in this game.
All right. I like that look as well. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have anything else. That's it. On that note, at least. This is just it. I feel like we're going against the grain, and I think there's a lot of people that disagree with us, but
I've tried to go against Doc in this spot in regular season games, of course, but with star players being out, and I've lost every time. Doc is the master of managing to find ways to be competitive when a star player.
Remember that game where they played the Suns and they were missing Giannis and Dame was sucking up to that point, and literally they couldn't miss a three-pointer from anybody on the team.
Yeah, they won that game by 30. My mind immediately went
they couldn't miss any.
My mind went to the Sixers Heat games from years past where Jimmy was actually playing, Hero was playing, and Embiid's not playing, and then they randomly win the game anyway. I've just seen it too many times. It pisses me off thinking about it, but I'll lean Bucks first half.
All right. Totals at 216. Heavy bets on the over.
I mean, it makes sense. Each of the last three games have had at least 233 points. With an overtime game in there, in game three. A double overtime game, but still.
I want to take any. I kind of want to just go all in on Indiana Fade.
Actually, no, sorry, it was one overtime. I forgot that. Haliburton had the shot in the first overtime. So, if you're picking Milwaukee, though, do you like the under or the over?
I'm trying to decide if I like Milwaukee team total over or Indiana team total under. I think I want to just back Milwaukee being able to score in that building.
Okay.
Let me look at, now that I got that, let me look at the number. The number is at 105.5. I mean, Pacers games, it's a Pacer game on the road, so I'm taking the under for sure. But I think the Bucks score in the building. I think under 216, Pacers team total under 109.5, Bucks team total over 105.5. That's my take. I think Indiana doesn't show up at all.
I feel like the problem I run into is that Indiana has been still trying to play at such a fast pace no matter what. And I'm wondering if Milwaukee does find a way to steal this game. Is it because they ended up putting together a great defensive effort while also dominating the pace? Or does the pace just go crazy, Indiana can't guard anybody, and their three-point shooting regresses? I think I'm leaning B. So I think I'm going to go Milwaukee team total over, because even if Indiana does win this game, they've still been horrible defensively. I mean, you can go down the line in these games here. Milwaukee scored 113, and half the team was out in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. So I probably go Milwaukee team total over if I had to pick an angle here. I think it's a good number.
I don't know. I think looking at, why would it be 216? Like, if we talk about how much the spread smells, doesn't this total smell? Why is this 216 and both of the other games went smooth over 230?
Well, to be fair, there's only one game with no Dame and no Giannis. So yeah. It factors in the Dame.
It's still soared over. It soared over.
Yeah, it did. I think the reason why I'm going to lean to Milwaukee team total over, even though Dame did play in those first three games, and yet an overtime in game three, Milwaukee has scored at least 108 points in every game.
Yeah. If you want to go based on that argument, this is going to be Bobby Portis. This is Bobby Portis, and we can just go ahead and go straight into the props. This is the Bobby Portis where he gets the MVP chance because Milwaukee fucking loves Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis could stop playing basketball today, and he would literally go around Milwaukee and not have to pay for a thing. Bobby Portis is Milwaukee right now. And it's so funny that he has gotten to the point in his career where now Milwaukee literally is embodies him, but that is Milwaukee. That is Milwaukee. Oh, I'm Bobby Portis is scoring 25 today.
There is one other prop that I do like for Milwaukee. Give me Middleton double-double at plus 210. He's had a double-double in two straight games, three of the last four actually in the series. Plus 210 is a good price. He's been rebounding well. He's going to have to facilitate more because Lillard's out, so he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot more. Middleton double-double I think is worth consideration.
All right. I do like that. I mean, shoot, Dark Horse. Why, 13-1? Really? That's it? Never mind.
Middleton, by the way, is a guy that I actually want to give
for a triple-double.
I'm not going to take triple-double, but I thought
it's,
about
it's
it.
It's not enough. I thought I was going to get 25.
That's why I like the double-double, because the rebounds are there, the assists aren't always there, so that's kind of the problem, yeah. But I do want to give my flowers to Middleton, though, before we wrap up the actual game breakdown, because I was never really a Middleton guy. And I know they won the finals. He stepped up in that Hawks series when Giannis got injured, but I really just wasn't a big Middleton guy. Maybe it's just the lack of flash in his game. He has actually been very good in the series, and he's been reliable in multiple playoff runs. I want to give him props for what he's done to the Bucks for the Bucks organization. You mentioned Portis not having to buy a thing. Bucks fans, a decent amount of them, don't like Middleton, and I flipped on his importance to this team. He's been so damn good in this series. The three-point shooting at the end, the shots he made, they lost the game anyway in overtime to Indiana, but those two three-pointers he made in the end of that game of regulation and in overtime, I got to give Middleton props. He's been really, really good with no Giannis in this series, and I want to give him his flowers. He's been really, really good.
The fact that you're still getting a plus 200 price on his double-double and he's had three of the four games, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to take it.
Yeah.
It's been close, though. He's had like exactly 10 rebounds, but I can't really go against the potential value in that one. I saw somebody
watch it be by the assist today. Watch he doesn't get the rebounds today and he gets it on the assist. And everybody's
kind of what I like,
a bunch
though,
of people. It's gonna be a bunch of people that take his rebounds and they're gonna forget that Bobby Portis was ejected 7 minutes into that game, and they're gonna take the rebounds and the assist is gonna be, oh, Chris Middleton assist. What is that at?
That's kind of what I like, though. I like the idea that he can get there in multiple ways. So that's why I like the double double as well.
Let's see. Middleton,
six and a half
plus
at plus 105. If you want the 9.5, 9.5, 6-1.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I know he hasn't gotten over six in the series yet. But if you know how Chris Middleton plays, he's going to pass the ball. He's going to randomly stack up assists, and he randomly gets those 10 assist games, and you're like, oh, shit, Chris Middleton's got a bunch of dimes on the day. That's why it's at 6.5, because they know. That's a secret dark play. That's a dark horse play right there, man. Chris Middleton, good assist day. All right. Yeah, they're going to hit a shit ton of threes tonight.
As long as Indiana doesn't hit as many as they did in game four, I think Milwaukee's got a shot. That was crazy. Miles Turner couldn't miss a shot the entire second half.
7 for 9 from three.
Do you know how demoralizing it is to see a Miles Turner heat check? That's got to be next level disrespect.
Last person that I want to throw out there. I just want to find and see if he has a three-point prop available. Because it just feels like it's his turn. It's his time to come in the series and make an impact and then disappear. He does not have a three-point prop available. If you can find one, it's probably going to be pretty. Let me know. But Jay Crowder.
Okay.
It's time.
He's playing minutes.
It's time. He's going to randomly, like, a couple of those threes are going to go in, and you're going to look, and Jay Crowder's going to have three. You're like, oh, shit.
Crowder's got to have one good game to justify the 5 second round draft picks that they traded for him. He just needs one good playoff game. 5 second round pick for Jay Crowder. So
Jill's in the chat. Credit to Terrell for taking one for the team again. I assume that's about the me.
You got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Is that on me taking the Bucks and I'm taking one for the team again? I don't know.
I was taking one for the team. So I don't know if you really have much of an interest in this Pacers Bucks thing. I think it's got to be about the Knicks game.
Yeah, I think that's got to be about the Knicks game too.
But we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I've already stated my stance, and I don't, anything else further will induce a jinx, so I can't do any further talking about it. All right, let's go ahead and end the show. We went a little long today, but good games. These are going to be good games. I really do think these are going to be good games. Okay. Lock, dog, underdog lineup from a lock. Huh, is it the Bucks?
Depends if you want to save him for a dog or not.
Bro, yeah, that's a good point. I feel like it's the Bucks. All right. How do we want to play this? We are going to take for my lock under Cleveland, Orlando, 201.5, because I just don't understand how 70% of the people are betting the over. I will let them continue to hammer that over and push the line up, and I will come in on the under.
That's what I've been doing on the overnight. It's been opening up at 199.5, so I just go to sleep. And it's like, oh, I'm going to wake up, and it's going to be 201.5, and I'll just take the under.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happened. So
201.5 under for the Orlando and Cleveland Cavs. These games have been horrible. They've been slow paced. These two teams can't score. We've been down on them. This is hitting three of the one games. I don't know why everybody's betting the over here. And if I can fade the public, I will. So there you go. And bet two will also be fading the public. And I'm going to be fading the 70% of the public that is betting on the Indiana Pacers as well, because I think this is a letdown spot. I think that this Bucks team and the role players have something to say, and they actually can compete with an Indiana team that can disappoint you. And people are forgetting that. It's not like they're, you know, the 1 seed, 2 seed, even the 3 seed playing this game. They can drop a game. They're not unbeatable. Bucks, get it done at home. Plus 150 on the money line. Over to you, Scott.
All right. So our plays are going to extremely overlap, but they're not the exact plays. So the exact same. So for my lock, I'm going to go with an under in that Orlando and Cleveland game, but I am going to go with a play that's also cashed in Cleveland's home games. Give me the Cavaliers team total. Under 103.5 at minus 115. They've gone under in all four games, even in the 2 games at home. The main reason why they won those games, because defensively, they absolutely put the clamps down on Orlando. Orlando's figured some stuff out offensively, so maybe they'll look sharper. But Cleveland hasn't even reached 100 in this series. They haven't even reached 98 in the series, and their line's at 103.5. Cleveland can win this game and cover, and they still go under. We saw it in the first 2 games of the series. So give me Cleveland team total under 103.5 at minus 115 as my lock. For my dog, I am going to go back to the Bucks game, but I am going to go. I thought about Brunson double-double maybe, which could be an option. Thought about maybe Middleton as well. Actually, do I want to go Brunson? Because I thought about Milwaukee first half money line. But the price isn't big enough. It's only plus 125, and you're going to roast me if I end up taking it. So I might have to actually go with Brunson double-double. Brunson double-double is plus 175. I'll take that.
All right.
I ended up not copying your plays because I didn't realize Bucks first half was that cheap for the money line. So just give me Brunson plus 175 double-double.
All right. Let's see here. I'm sorry, I'm just logging into Tally site to put my picks in.
I've been so bad historically speaking at actually putting picks in for Tally site. I've been so bad historically.
I got to do it when I'm thinking about it or I'll forget and I'll just go on because my day is long. So I'll just forget and go on about my day. But here we go, adding because I was just talking about it now. There we go. Let's get a lock around that under, definitely on that Bucks game. This is, man, I'm going to laugh so hard if the Bucks really come through for me. I'm going to laugh so hard because while I am placing this bet, very cautiously optimistic about it. But, man. All right, underdog lineup. Let's close this out strong. I would love to throw Kendrick Nunn in the underdog lineup, by the way, but that tips off in 35 minutes. I'm not going to do the people like that. But I would love to throw Kendrick Nunn in there.
It does? I thought you said at 11 p.m.
No, 1 p.m.
Okay, 1 p.m. That makes more sense.
Yeah. All right. There's the NBA. I was wondering where my NBA tab was at. I don't know why.
So you want Middleton assists?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm kind of
sold. I can get behind that.
Especially like with no Dame. Like he's really gonna be the ball handler running the offense. Like Pat Bev a little bit, but like it's really gonna be Middleton for a
I don't think Pat Bev's done a damn thing in this series, by the way.
Yeah. I think he's played okay defense on Tyrese Haliburton. I think that's the claim to fame.
I mean, I guess
but it's really more of Haliburton. It's really more of Haliburton just sucking than somebody playing really good defense on him. Like,
and he also was the one who got cooked on that overtime floater for the loss. So
he did.
So I think Pat Bev's really done much in the series at all.
It's kind of ruined it. Are we taking Jared Allen rebounds?
What's his number at?
12.
12. I'll let you decide on that. I kind of want to go extremely
points and rebounds.
I kind of want the Gary Harris lower 5.5 if they have it. I kind of want it.
Points and rebounds, 28.5.
I don't know if I actually want it or not. If I was going to take it, I would take the rebounds. But
then Gary Harris, we do have 5.5.
I kind of want the lower on that one.
All right, Gary.
If it
Harris
loses,
lower.
We got a nice joke out of it. But I do think it's a good value play. He's done absolutely nothing in the last couple games, and he's getting less minutes. His minutes got basically cut by 40%+ in the last 2 games. So I kind of have to, consider it.
Gary Harris lower 5.5 points. I'm with you. I'm telling you with it.
Orlando's won the last two games by giving him less minutes. I'm not going to suddenly assume he's back in the rotation getting serious runtime.
I would, and it would just, so if anybody plays our, we got to figure out what our last play is, but if anybody plays our underdog lineup and you say that I just don't trust Scott with the unders and you play the exact underdog lineup, but have Gary Harris flip to the higher and it hits, please screenshot and I will send you a NBA Gambling Podcast shirt. I will, because that would be fucking hilarious.
It would be. It'd be very funny, but I'm just saying.
I would be sick. I'll be sick because I lost my own money on the entry, but it would be really, 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 really funny.
And then I'm trying to think of what else we actually like for the card.
Brunson?
Today. Brunson assists?
Yeah.
Okay.
I already had it.
Josh Hart rebounds.
Oh, okay. Josh Hart rebounds.
Give me the rebounds on him.
Okay. I can do that. Let's see here. Josh Hart. There we go. Where's your... We got 12.5 spicy. 1.05x, or is there another option? Nope, there's no other option. You can take that, or you can go for first quarter rebounds and assists at 16.5. That rebounds and assist line feels short.
It might be. So, I mean, I kind of just want the rebounds, to be honest. But
all right, let's go. 12.5 higher. All right. We have Josh Hart, 1.05x spicy, a little spicy, not too much, just a little spice for the record. 12.5 rebounds higher. Gary Harris, 5.5 points lower, and Chris Middleton higher on the assist, 6.5. We have a par entry going on today. That pays out at 6.3x. $100 gets you $630. Make sure you use that promo code NBASGP and at Underdog Fantasy. Scott, anything else for people before we get up out of here?
No, not really. Looking forward to the games tonight. Should be fun. Hopefully the Knicks get it done. We'll see what happens. Maybe MB doesn't play, so keep an eye out for that. But yeah, the game should be entertaining. So looking forward to the games tonight.
Yeah. All right. For the 63 people that are watching us live, make sure you tune in tonight.
Oh, that's a good point.
Maybe around 9:30. Around 9:30, yes. So we have technical difficulties are going to be happening tomorrow, so we can't put out our episode tomorrow. So we're going to record tonight, put it out tonight. So around, I would say, actually, let's just go ahead and say 10. I think 10 is a time where everybody's free. So 10 p.m. night, about 10 p.m. tonight, make sure you come back to the YouTube. If you're subscribe to the NBA Gambling Podcast. For people that aren't subscribed, then you know that you'll just get the notification and you'll be able to hop in and listen to us talk about tomorrow's games later tonight. So that will be happening. Other than that, make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you like the video on your way out. But
so once again, just a reminder, the preview for the Wednesday games will be taking place tonight at roughly 10 p.m. Eastern time, just to be clear.
Somewhere around there.
Okay.
All right. We have nothing else to say, nothing else to do. No other way of ending the podcast is just going to end like this. We are out of here. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm going to